Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер один. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего A, F и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start.
Speaker A.
I try to care about our planet. Some people argue that it's impossible for an individual to affect major changes. But I disagree, as there are many things everyone can do to help our planet. Let's start with our homes. Encouraging your family to recycle regularly is a good thing to start with. Every glass bottle you recycle saves enough energy to run a TV for an hour, while recycling an aluminum can saves enough energy to run a TV for 3 hours. It's not difficult to turn out the lights when you leave a room or use reusable containers for your lunches.
Speaker B.
My name is Walton, and I'm from the USA. I'm personally concerned about our environment pollution. I try to protect the environment, to preserve it, and leave it clean and undamaged for the next generations who are at risk of not being able to leave their homes due to high city pollution. Yet now in my native city, Boston, the smog has increased to such a threatening level that my family and I had to move because the air was harmful to the health of my 4-year-old son.
Speaker C.
In my country, England, there is hardly a part of it that is within its natural state. The typical English countryside, the hills and fields, have all been shaped by generations of cultivation. In fact, taking the planet as a whole, there is hardly a part of it that humans have not changed. I fear that by our pollution, humans are changing the places where they do not live and where they live. Deserts are becoming hotter, Arctic ice is melting, and wherever you look, you can see the ugly footprint of humanity.
Speaker D.
Of course we should care more about our planet's water supplies. When you use water wisely, you help the environment. You save water for fish and animals. You help preserve drinking water supplies as well. You save the energy that your water supplier uses to move water to you, and the energy your family uses to heat your water. When you use water wisely, you save money as your family pays for the water you use. So if kids start learning to use water wisely today, they will be helping themselves in the future.
Speaker E.
My name is Susan, and I'm 17 years old. I think the Earth is the home we all live in, but many people simply don't care. I get depressed by all those warnings that we hear daily: acid rain, global warming, and on. It is likely that there will always be some people who litter in towns and in the country, despite fines and knowledge of the environmental consequences. You cannot influence the way other people care for our planet, and that makes me very sad.
Speaker F.
I suggest we should use all resources in the most efficient way possible. A green home will be a good solution here, as it helps to conserve energy as well as water. Waste and pollution will be decreased too. A green home protects the environment by using renewable solar energy. Solar panels on the roof of a home collect sunlight, which is then converted into power to heat the home and run the home equipment. So a green home will save energy as well as money, in addition to having other health benefits. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again.
Speaker A.
I try to care about our planet. Some people argue that it's impossible for an individual to affect major changes, but I disagree, as there are many things everyone can do to help our planet. Let's start with our homes. Encouraging your family to recycle regularly is a good thing to start with. Every glass bottle you recycle saves enough energy to run a TV for an hour, while recycling an aluminum can saves enough energy to run a TV for 3 hours. It's not difficult to turn out the lights when you leave a room or use reusable containers for your lunches.
Speaker B.
My name is Walton, and I'm from the USA. I'm personally concerned about our environment pollution. I try to protect the environment, to preserve it, and leave it clean and undamaged for the next generations who are at risk of not being able to leave their homes due to high city pollution. Yet now in my native city, Boston, the smog has increased to such a threatening level that my family and I had to move because the air was harmful to the health of my 4-year-old son.
Speaker C.
In my country, England, there is hardly a part of it that is within its natural state. The typical English countryside, the hills and fields, have all been shaped by generations of cultivation. In fact, taking the planet as a whole, there is hardly a part of it that humans have not changed. I fear that by our pollution, humans are changing the places where they do not live and where they live. Deserts are becoming hotter. Arctic ice is melting. And wherever you look, you can see the ugly footprint of humanity.
Speaker D.
Of course, we should care more about our planet's water supplies. When you use water wisely, you help the environment. You save water for fish and animals. You help preserve drinking water supplies as well. You save the energy that your water supplier uses to move water to you, and the energy your family uses to heat your water. When you use water wisely, you save money, as your family pays for the water you use. So if kids start learning to use water wisely today, they will be helping themselves in the future.
Speaker E.
My name is Susan, and I'm 17 years old. I think the Earth is the home we all live in, but many people simply don't care. I get depressed by all those warnings that we hear daily: acid rain, global warming, and on and on. It is likely that there will always be some people who litter in towns and in the country, despite fines and knowledge of the environmental consequences. You cannot influence the way other people care for our planet, and that makes me very sad.
Speaker F.
I suggest we should use all resources in the most efficient way possible. A green home will be a good solution here, as it helps to conserve energy as well as water. Waste and pollution will be decreased too. A green home protects the environment by using renewable solar energy. Solar panels on the roof of a home collect sunlight, which is then converted into power to heat the home and run the home equipment. So a green home will save energy as well as money, in addition to having other health benefits. This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start.
When I finished school, I went to university, Melbourne University, and studied science. I then gained my university degree, and after that, I worked in a heart disease research institute. At that time, I decided to start my career in medicine.
Did you work in Melbourne?
Yes, in Melbourne. So, I worked for a year, a bit over a year, on different patient recovery programs. Then I wanted to have a break, so I went traveling, and I traveled through Western Europe and ended up in London, and I worked at the hospital in an immunology lab, and that was more diagnostic work. It was quite interesting. And after that, I moved to Finland.
It sounds great.
And I did my doctor's dissertation there.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm just curious. Was it in English?
Yes. Every student who is doing their dissertation, they have to write their works in English. And the seminars are given in English as well.
So you were in Finland for about 5 years. Do you speak Finnish?
Not very well. I can understand a bit, but it is quite a difficult language. And because English was my mother tongue, they wanted to practice their English and preferred to speak English with me. But yeah, I did take lessons and try to learn it. And that was all.
I understand. I've had a similar experience with learning French. My frequent business trips to France didn't help me much in language learning. Some basic skills only. I wish I could take time to start regular lessons.
Probably I needed more lessons in Finnish too. Anyway, I decided to move back to Melbourne, so I took the Trans-Siberian train.
Incredible!
Once I got back to Melbourne, I started my postdoctoral research, which was in a different field from heart problems, actually in the field of our immune system.
Well, it's quite a different direction. What influenced you most?
I think it was my previous working experience in London, and my colleagues at the lab, who encouraged me greatly to start this. So that was 3 years, and that was in Melbourne. Then I just published the work and decided to travel.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
When I finished school, I went to university, Melbourne University, and studied science. I then gained my university degree, and after that, I worked in a heart disease research institute. At that time, I decided to start my career in medicine.
Did you work in Melbourne?
Yes, in Melbourne. So, I worked for a year, a bit over a year, on different patient recovery programs. Then I wanted to have a break, so I went traveling, and I traveled through Western Europe and ended up in London, and I worked at the hospital in an immunology lab, and that was more diagnostic work. It was quite interesting. And after that, I moved to Finland.
It sounds great.
And I did my doctor's dissertation there.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm just curious. Was it in English?
Yes. Every student who is doing their dissertation, they have to write their works in English. And the seminars are given in English as well.
So you were in Finland for about 5 years. Do you speak Finnish?
Not very well. I can understand a bit, but it is quite a difficult language. And because English was my mother tongue, they wanted to practice their English and preferred to speak English with me. But yeah, I did take lessons and try to learn it. And that was all.
I understand. I've had a similar experience with learning French. My frequent business trips to France didn't help me much in language learning. Some basic skills only. I wish I could take time to start regular lessons.
Probably I needed more lessons in Finnish, too. Anyway, I decided to move back to Melbourne, so I took the Trans-Siberian train.
Incredible!
Once I got back to Melbourne, I started my postdoctoral research, which was in a different field from heart problems, actually in the field of our immune system.
Well, it's quite a different direction. What influenced you most?
I think it was my previous working experience in London and my colleagues at the lab who encouraged me greatly to start this. So that was 3 years, and that was in Melbourne. Then I just published the work and decided to travel.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start. Hello, I'm Callum Robinson, and this is Entertainment. Our topic today is films and film festivals. You may have heard of the Venice Film Festival and the Cannes Film Festival, glorious occasions with A-list celebrities from the movie world turning out to promote their latest projects. A festival you might not know is the Portobello Film Festival, which is currently taking place in Portobello, an area of West London. It's had its own independent film festival for a number of years, and to learn more about it, I've invited the festival's director, Jonathan Barnett. So, Jonathan, could you tell us about when and how the festival started?
Well, it started in 1996 because even back in those days, there were people making very low-budget films, often using video equipment, and there wasn't really anywhere for them to show their films. So we thought it would be nice to provide a platform for these filmmakers. We had the mad idea at the time of showing every film that was submitted. And we also decided not to charge because I suppose, at heart, we weren't rabid capitalists.
So the festival started as a way of giving unknown filmmakers somewhere to show their films. As Jonathan said, to give them a platform. Then I've got a question. How many films are being shown, and how do you manage to pay for it, for running the festival, I mean?
This year, we're showing 700 films. The money comes in from funding, mostly. We get money from people and organizations like Film London and the Arts Council, and we also get different kinds of support from sponsors. So we don't have to pay for advertising. We don't have to pay for launch parties. We don't have to pay for prizes.
Over the first 3 weeks of August, 700 films are being shown as part of the Portobello Film Festival. What kind of films can be seen? Are they just short student films, or does the festival attract big names as well? Here's the festival's director, Jonathan Barnett.
The actual films we're showing are a lot better than anything you'll see on TV or in the multiplexes. And it's everything from student films, and we also get stuff from top filmmakers like, for instance, John Malkovich. So I think because we're a festival that has a reputation for a certain amount of integrity, and also being a little bit out on a limb, we attract the big names, as well as people who are just starting out. The first year of the festival, we had Guy Ritchie's first film, which was called The Hard Case, which was fantastic. It's exactly the same as Lock, Stock, and Snatch, but he was kind of formulating his ideas, and it was a short film.
As far as I know, the Portobello Film Festival runs until the 21st of August. As well as films, there are other arts events, a variety of fantastic concerts, exhibitions, and presentations. You want the festival to be more than just for film, don't you?
Yes. What we want it to be is, we want it to be a bit like a kind of cross between Glastonbury Festival and Edinburgh Festival, but for free and set in Portobello Road.
We also hope it would become a big arts festival, amazing, unforgettable, and a good start for young talents. That's all from Entertainment This Week. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Hello, I'm Callum Robinson, and this is Entertainment. Our topic today is films and film festivals. You may have heard of the Venice Film Festival and the Cannes Film Festival, glorious occasions with A-list celebrities from the movie world turning out to promote their latest projects. A festival you might not know is the Portobello Film Festival, which is currently taking place in Portobello, an area of West London. It's had its own independent film festival for a number of years, and to learn more about it, I've invited the festival's director, Jonathan Barnett. So, Jonathan, could you tell us about when and how the festival started?
Well, it started in 1996, because even back in those days, there were people making very low-budget films, often using video equipment, and there wasn't really anywhere for them to show their films. So we thought it would be nice to provide a platform for these filmmakers. We had the mad idea at the time of showing every film that was submitted. And we also decided not to charge, because I suppose, at heart, we weren't rabid capitalists.
So the festival started as a way of giving unknown filmmakers somewhere to show their films. as Jonathan said, to give them a platform. Then I've got a question. How many films are being shown, and how do you manage to pay for it, for running the festival, I mean?
This year, we're showing 700 films. The money comes in from funding, mostly. We get money from people and organizations like Film London and the Arts Council, and we also get different kinds of support from sponsors. So we don't have to pay for advertising. We don't have to pay for launch parties. We don't have to pay for prizes.
Over the first 3 weeks of August, 700 films are being shown as part of the Portobello Film Festival. What kind of films can be seen? Are they just short student films, or does the festival attract big names as well? Here's the festival's director, Jonathan Barnett.
The actual films we're showing are a lot better than anything you'll see on TV or in the multiplexes. And it's everything from student films, and we also get stuff from top filmmakers like, for instance, John Malkovich. So I think because we're a festival that has a reputation for a certain amount of integrity, and also being a little bit out on a limb, we attract the big names, as well as people who are just starting out. The first year of the festival, we had Guy Ritchie's first film, which was called The Hard Case, which was fantastic. It's exactly the same as Lock, Stock, and Snatch, but he was kind of formulating his ideas, and it was a short film.
As far as I know, the Portobello Film Festival runs until the 21st of August. As well as films, there are other arts events, a variety of fantastic concerts, exhibitions, and presentations. You want the festival to be more than just for film, don't you?
Yes. What we want it to be is, we want it to be a bit like a kind of cross between Glastonbury Festival and Edinburgh Festival, but for free and set in Portobello Road.
We also hope it would become a big arts festival, amazing, unforgettable, and a good start for young talents. That's all from Entertainment This Week. This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.